Gee, I'm bad enough with one set of glasses. I get two. I'll get them to you after, Wally. Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Good morning.
You know, Wally talked about... Here we are. Wally talked about going out to BC, and it's a sad time for all of us. No doubt about that. We're going to miss him, but I want to make an announcement right now, before everybody gets too far ahead of themselves. Very soon, I think probably this fall, maybe even, we're going to open up a new satellite office in Duncan. And Wally is going to be looking after it. And I'm sure when Youth for Christ said we were going to have satellite offices, this was not within the realm of the area they thought we would be in. But I have no doubt that wherever Wally goes, Youth for Christ and the Lord will follow with him. And man, we're going to miss him. Thank you to Wally. Thank you to Hannah for the opening and how great it was. You know, this morning as we were doing breaking of bread, and here's the topic here before us this morning, the real hope for Christians, that's what I was given. Everything we sang this morning, everything we talked about, I wanted to jump up and say, that's the answer. That's the hope. That's it. Wally said, are you going to be out of the box this morning again, Wade? I'm always out of the box. But if you're in the box, you're missing the point. Because you can't confine the Lord. The Lord is outside the box all the time. That's where we need to be, is outside of the box with the Lord. You know, when we talk about hope, one of the areas that we talked about this morning in breaking the bread was the second chapter of Ephesians. And that's sure a chapter about hope. But you know something? The whole Bible, all of God's Word, is a book on hope. Doesn't matter where you turn. It's all about hope. You can say that it's about the Israelites getting out of the wilderness. You can talk about the prostitute that washed Christ's feet with her tears. You can talk about all of these things. But it's all about hope. And there's no way that I can do justice to hope in 25 minutes, 30 minutes. There's not a hope. Anyway, so you know me, I'm off on a tangent. I thought I had this thing all done on Friday. When I woke up yesterday, the Lord said, that ain't it. So here we are with something totally different. The real hope for Christians. Seems like a little bit of a mundane topic. You know, we've been, on our Thursday night study, we've been studying grace. And related to grace, we've been studying forgiveness. And 2 weeks ago, we spent the better part, if not all of our Bible study, trying to define grace. Trying to define forgiveness. You had to be there to hear it, I'm telling you, because it wasn't very consistent. There was such a variety of answers to those questions. And it's the same thing with hope. On the surface, it seems simple. We should just say, our hope is Christ. And that's it. Let's just leave it there. And I guess I could do that and walk away, and that would be enough. If you were to go home and think about it, pray about it, read about it, it probably would be enough. But there's so much more to it. And where do I begin and where do I stop? And so here I am. When I look at the topic today, I'm going to look at it from three different aspects because I think there are three things here to talk about when we talk about the real hope of Christians. The first is the word real. Okay? The use of the word real implies that we have a hope that actually has a chance of coming to fruition. That it exists as a thing or as an event or as an occurrence. That it is not imagined. It is not supposed. It is not a wishful dream. There is an expectancy of it. Our hope otherwise would be one that is unreal or a false hope. That makes sense, doesn't it? False hope is really one of our own imagination, one that we know before we even start the hope will be true or not true. We already probably know the outcome, but we hope for a different outcome. But nothing is guaranteed, thus the difference. So we talk about the word real. Now there's the word hope. Using the same logic as we applied, it would appear that there's real hope and unreal hope. Or perhaps a better term would be false hope or no hope at all. Hope is defined, and I'm going to read it right out of Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a desire of some good accompanied with an expectation, of obtaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable, an expectation of something which is thought to be desirable, and confidence, pleasing expectancy. Attainable. A belief that it's attainable. Pleasing expectancy. You expect it to happen. These are absolutes. They're not maybes. They're not wish lists. They're not what ifs. They're absolutes. They're fact. So we've alluded to hope, false hope, no hope, reality, unreality. Third one. What about Christian? If there are Christians, real Christians, are there false Christians? Are there people who are not Christians? Absolutely. We know that. We know that for a fact. We probably know a lot of people who fall into that category. And as we question ourselves, maybe one of us falls into that category in a way. So let's just flesh this out a little bit more. We've got about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Let's just flesh it out a little bit more and see where we go from here. And perhaps the word flesh is not the word we want to use, and we'll see that a little bit further. Here's that definition again, okay? In today's world, hope is just a fleeting concept. As I said before, it's something you wish for. You're expecting an outcome, but there's no guarantee of what you're going to get. Absolutely none. Okay, we use the word hope in many, many ways. Poets use it and elaborate on it. They say things like faint hope, trembling hope, feeble hope, phantom hope, great white hope. It's used in so many ways, but none of those ways are biblical. None of those ways speak about the hope that we can have, the real hope that we can have. We use it in so many different ways, and I'll just give you some examples. I hope that I get through this time without any major pain resulting from my hip. Coming up these steps and standing here too long, leaning too long. You, on the other hand, are hoping that I'm interesting today, that I don't bore you, that you don't fall asleep. We have a bring and share, and you'd like to be awake for that. And you're hoping that I won't be too long, because you know, come noon hour, you get fidgety, antsy. You hope I'm going to be over in time. There are so many other ways. I'm going to ask a question here that's sort of strange, but what does Superman have to say about hope? He says, even though I don't personally believe in the Lord, I try to behave as though He was there with me, watching. Superman. On the one hand, he says he doesn't believe in the Lord, and yet he behaves as though he exists. It's like having your cake and eating it too, isn't it? You can't have both, but he wants both. And this is Superman. Superman! He's only afraid of kryptonite. Superman. Well, you say to me, Wade, it's only a display for what I want to explain. He's a fictitious character. And you're right, Superman is fictitious. But the fellow that wrote this quote, who played Superman, is not Christopher Reeves. How about a quote from a plain old guy, Christopher Reeve? He's the author of this quote. This is Christopher Reeves. Once you choose hope, anything's possible, he says. Keep in mind the quote he just said. Anything is possible. Is he speaking from a biblical sense? Is he talking about hope in Christ? I don't think so. Because Christopher Reeve put his hope on stem cell research. You see, Christopher Reeve was an actor who played Superman, and he was thrown from a horse in real life, and he broke his back. He became paralyzed for life, and he died in October of 2004, all along believing that he would walk again by the time he was 50. When he died, he was 52, by the way. He never did walk again. But he put his hope, he put his faith, he put his trust in the physicians and all the researchers who were working on stem cell research, because he felt that's where his hope laid. All the works that he did were for naught. He's got nothing to show for it. He's still dead in a box. His life is over. It's ended as we know it. You see, we don't have to worry about that false story, that fictitious story, that wishful thinking. We can turn to the real thing. We can turn to God's Word. We can get the story of real hope right there. Truthful, real hope. As Christians, we know it's there. Whether we follow it or not is another story. Put simply and quite frankly, if you are without God, you are without hope. Christopher Reeve, Superman, Wade Matthew, each and every one of you are in that same boat. Regardless of your efforts, regardless of what you do, regardless of your works, regardless of the law and the prophets, you are without hope if you are without Christ. Without God, without hope. And here's a quote that says that, once you choose God's hope, everything is possible, as opposed to what Christopher Reeve did. He believed that hope was a great thing. It's just that he chose the wrong person to deliver it. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. That's a certainty. That's an absolute. That's a fact. And that's not going to change. Because the Lord doesn't change. And the Lord doesn't lie. The Lord is truth. It's going to come to fruition. That's what Jesus is saying right here. It's going to come to fruition. It's a fact. So actions of the flesh, good works, will get unreal hope, false hope, just as Christopher Reeve got. Only the invitation of Jesus Christ into our hearts will give us the real hope that is offered. It says that at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There's that famous chapter in Ephesians, chapter 2, that Stan was talking about. We didn't get to verse 12 in the breaking of bread, but there it is. It's talking about hope. It says if you're without God, you have no hope. If you're without Christ, you have no hope. Since before the beginning of creation, there was hope. Now wrap your head around that one. Christopher Reeve was putting his faith on hope, on something that he hoped would be developed, a plan that would come together, and results that would come from that plan being fruitful and meeting his purpose. But with God, the plan was there before this earth was created, before you were created. He had the plan for you. He had the hope for you. He had the way to deliver it. He had the way to make sure you were going to get it. He had the way to make sure you were going to get what you needed. He had the way to make sure that you were looked after. Absolute. No questions asked. Titus 1:1-2 says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life with God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Colossians 1:3-5. Apostle Paul says, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And how about Jeremiah? The Old Testament. Was there hope then? Or did it just come since Jesus came? Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. This is a guarantee. This is a guarantee that what he promises, he will deliver. And he will deliver it to you as he has promised. Nothing will change. Nothing will be altered. That's a fact. That's expectancy, isn't it? What kind of expectancy did Christopher Reeve have? We're destined to a place in the future that not one of us wants to be in. Christopher Reeve doesn't want to be where he is now. But he chose that. Each one of us gets what we deserve, in a way, because we have the opportunity to choose being with Christ or being without Christ. He gives us that option. It's only because God has plans for us and has always had plans for us. They supersede the knowledge, the ability, the vision that we have to rescue ourselves. And that's really what Christopher Reeve was putting his hope in. Our ability to do it on our own. We can't. We never have been able to. We're not going to be able to. But this is not just for us. Not just for Jews, not just for the Israelites, but for Gentiles, for everybody. Everybody. Some people say, oh yeah, it's just for Israel. It says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Sounds familiar, Stan. Open their eyes. Take away the scales. Show me what's there. Let me see. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. They're going to be given hope. Hope. An inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. They are in Christ, in God. They will receive that hope. Do you believe God? Do you believe that His Word is truth? Do you believe that He's going to do what He promises? What about this verse? You know, we need to see this in the light of hope as well. This is not just our Lord and Savior who came and sacrificed Himself on a cross. We beat Him. We tortured Him. We tore Him apart. We crucified Him. We nailed Him to a tree. It's more than that. It's God's plan for hope. It's God's plan for you. And real hope, not false hope, real hope. There are other verses as well that talk about the hope in the future that we have, and that He takes nothing for chance. He didn't rely on one of His prophets. He didn't rely on someone He picked up off the side of the road, as He often did. He didn't rely on Jesus to come and pick someone off the side of the road, as happens sometimes. He turned it over to His Son, the one and only person who could deliver hope for you. No one else could do it. There isn't an army in this world that could protect you and give you the hope that you want, that you need, that you think you deserve. Not one. Let's just go further and read a few more verses in that chapter. Right after this particular verse, 17 says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He came to give you and me hope. A chance to be redeemed. A chance to get out of that abyss that Christopher Reeve is in." And verse 21, a few verses on. "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may have been done in God." Come to the light. Come to Christ. And it will be done as in God. In Christ. One and the same. You have to be with God. With Christ. Verse 27 of that same chapter, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven." All that Jesus did, all the hope that He gives, comes from the heaven. Comes from God. That's certainty. That's absolute. That's a fact. That can't be changed. That can't be altered. Acts 26:17-18 says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. And on it goes. It's hope. How about the power that we get because of that? May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's one verse. You could spend all day talking about that. What it implies. Who it's directed at. Why it was given. How it was given. But it will never change. This verse is not going to change tomorrow and somehow include some other aspect that you never thought about today, that might give you just a little bit more hope or a little bit more certainty that the hope that you got today will be a little better tomorrow. It isn't going to happen. The hope you have today is the best hope you're ever going to have. Tomorrow it's going to be the same thing. It's not going to change. God has made sure of that. He's left nothing to chance. So you should now be in God's hands, by God's grace, heirs of the hope of eternal life. That's what Titus says. Hope of eternal life. How about 1 Peter? He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. You're only getting a few verses here. Maybe not the verses that you think are most relevant with regards to the word hope. What I'm trying to say is the whole Bible is about hope. Every verse speaks about hope. Whether you're going to get it or not, whether you have the opportunity to get it or not, and where it comes from. And if it's not an encouragement to you with regards to hope, then you may as well throw it out. It's not like you can read one chapter and say, well, that really doesn't apply to hope, but if we want to talk about hope, let's go to Ephesians 2, or let's go to John 3, or let's go to... It doesn't matter. The whole Bible is about hope. A living hope, born to a living hope. Christopher Reeve's hope was dead. And it was never going to come to life. Because he didn't go to the inventor of that hope, to the creator of that hope. Once again, as I said before, it's not imaginary. It's not a wish, a wistful desire. But it's a fact. Now there's one other aspect as we come close to the end here that we really haven't talked too much about. And that's about a real Christian. Are you a real Christian? Wally slipped a little bit this morning as we were doing the closing of breaking of bread, and he said that the topic this morning was the hope for real Christians. And he's absolutely right. That's something we need to consider. It's not just whether it's hope or false hope, whether it's real or unreal. It's whether you're Christian or not as well. Because if you're not Christian, it's a waste of time. You're not going to get it. It's going to mean nothing to you. King David said, and so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. King David wasn't perfect. He made a lot of mistakes. He did a lot of things that were contrary to what God would have liked him to do. But that's man, sinful nature. But he stuck with the Lord. He focused on the Lord. He put his hope in the Lord. And so today we talk about King David as an example of past hope. We don't want just past hope. We want future hope as well. You know, I learned a new word this morning too as Stan was talking. He talked about we was. When we was. We was. Before time, we was. Well, I think that we should create another word, and it should be a future word, and it should be we be. We be in Christ. We be with God. We be in hope. true hope, real hope, as real Christians. And they say, oh, folks can't learn new things. Eh? Terrible, terrible. Let's look further into some of the passages as we talk about these things. John 5, 39 and 40 says, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life." A lot of us say the words. A lot of us do the things that we think we have to do in order to be a Christian. Maybe that's why you're here at church this morning, is because you think you're obligated. That's what a Christian does, doesn't he? He gets baptized. He comes to church. He puts money in the collection plate once in a while, if it doesn't impact too much on what he's doing. He comes to the special events. And he piously prays. And he sings hymns. But you know something? That's not being Christian. As Peter Kerr told us at Shillington a few weeks back, that's being a religious Christian. And that's not what God wants. God doesn't want you to try and do this by the law. Doing all of these good works and doing all of these things just so, you know, like the way they used to have it with all the different feasts and ceremonies and all the traditions and, you know, you can't go behind here and you can only do this once a year and make sure you sacrifice that animal and the blood goes over the lintel and all kinds of things like that. That's not the way it is anymore. It's not enough to just say you're a Christian. You have to walk like a Christian. You have to walk with Christ, in Christ, and be examples of Christ. If people can't see Christ in you, then chances are you're not Christian. If your joy doesn't overflow, if your assurance of this hope that's being offered to you, of the grace that He has given you, is not self-evident, then chances are maybe you're not the Christian you thought you were. We don't have a lot of time, and there's so many things that we could do. I thought I would just give you a little list here, and these will be on the slides that you can get on the website. These are things that you get through hope, through grace. It brings faith. And I'm not going to give you the verse and the chapter because they're there, but it brings faith. It brings security, safety, protection, boldness, confidence, strength, patience, mercy, joy, happiness. It brings blessings. Having hope, receiving that grace and working on it. It should change how you see yourselves and how you are seen to others. 1 Corinthians 4:7 asks the question, what makes you different? This should make you different. They should see this in you. Hope and grace. It should change our actions, our focus, and our values. We need to know hope through God's Word. And that's something that you would have to study for the rest of your life. But it should also allow you to rest in God's grace, Spirit-filled, and living full for Christ. Being that light for Christ that He wants you to be. Being that example to others. Being something that is obvious to others. That you are different. Yes, you're in this world, but you're no longer of this world. So what is the real hope for Christians? The real hope for real Christians? Christ. You need to be in Christ. You know, 2 Corinthians 6:1 says that we are, now that we are ambassadors for Christ, do not take that grace in vain. Do not take that hope and just shovel it away. But let it bubble over outside of you. Let others see what it is that you have. Because that is the best display of what hope truly is. Of what grace truly is. Of what being with Christ truly is. I'm going to close with a verse here from an individual that many of us know, Henry Nguyen. And I think this sums up exactly what it means to be a real Christian with real hope. My hope is that the description of God's love in my life will give you the freedom and the courage to discover God's love in yours. Just think about that a little bit. He's hoping that people see something in him that has changed his life, that has given him hope, that has given him assurance, calmness, boldness, strength, safety, security, all those things I talked about and many, many more. And that you will see that and it will give you the freedom and the courage to discover the same for you. And you know, when we talk about being disciples and being sons of God and going out to all the corners of the earth, spreading the good news, this is what it's all about. If God's love isn't in you and people can't see it, then it just isn't happening. And so I've just touched the iceberg on what it means to have real hope as a Christian. I hope that it touched you in some way, shape, or form. I hope you can understand that it is not the total package, that there is so, so much more in the Bible, but it all begins with being in Christ, with knowing Christ. Let's close in prayer. Lord, sometimes as we think about the topics that we discuss, we leave wondering how you could even consider loving us. How we fall so, so abysmally short of anything that even represents value. And yet to you, we are priceless. Lord, the hope that you give us, the hope that was guaranteed before the world began, the hope that you continue to offer, is something that is above and beyond our ability to understand as well, Lord. But like many things in your word, there are mysteries. But there are also certainties, Lord. The certainty that when you say something, you will do it. And that when you promise something to us, to me, it will come to fruition. It is not a wishful thing, it is an absolute. And that these things, Lord, that we receive, these things that are offered to us, Lord, are offered out of love. What a wonderful concept. Lord, if only we could understand it. If only, Lord, we could be the children that you want us to be. Help us, Lord, to remove those things that inhibit us from being the real Christian, from being really your sons and daughters, from turning 100% towards you and not keeping anything in the closet. Lord, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, that you have challenged us with these things. And we ask that you would continue to do so, Lord. That you would continue through the Holy Spirit to give us the power of hope, but also to question ourselves, Lord, to make sure that we are always putting you first and foremost in everything that we do, and that that love, that bubbling joy, that hope that you have given to us, Lord, is evident to everyone else. Lord, we just thank you for this time, acknowledge our love to you, and thank you in your Son's precious name. Amen. Thank you.